I was asked how I came up with the thought that billions are being prepared to blaspheme the Holy Spirit by getting them to agree with the homosexuals and the transgenders, you know, by acknowledging them as they are, you know, having us partake in their lie. You know, because we know a man can't marry a woman. A man can't marry a man, and a woman can't marry a woman. And a man can't be a woman, and a woman can't be a man. You know, even if they had the ability to change their chromosomes, which, you know, I don't think mankind would ever get there. But Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. I'll put it in the room. And, you know, as much as they can deny it, they, you know, that, because that's what they're trying to get us to do. They're trying to say that God lied. Moses lied when he wrote down what the Lord told him to write in Genesis 5:2, that says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And they like to use that as well as saying there was two Adams, and so Eve was really a transgender, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure they're going to go there soon with that. But since we know God only created two genders, you know, for us to say a man is a woman or a woman is a man, or by, you know, that binary thing, or transgender, what they got all these weird, you know, the LGBTQ thing, and it's just, if we you know, go along with all that, we can't agree with them, because God did not create them as they claim. God created them as He wrote in the Bible. Therefore, to agree with them is to blaspheme God. And when a homosexual man marries another man, or a homosexual woman marries another woman, for them to demand we agree with them by acknowledging their spouse is to blaspheme God, who only instituted marriage between a man and a woman. And by the way, have you ever noticed this? This will actually, I'll probably save that for later, because Jesus also said in Matthew 12, let me get this here, this verse. Yeah. Amen to that, Brother Mel. But Jesus said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And this is why it's not that big of a deal for people to go out there and say, you know, and to blaspheme God, blaspheme the Father and the Son. It's not a really big deal, because they know they can be forgiven, let's say. I don't know, either that or that's where the devil's playing his little game to get them used to just plain blasphemy. But the reason you can blaspheme the Father as well as Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit, proves the Holy Spirit is actually a separate and true person in the Godhead, just as Jesus and the Father are. I mean, Sister White even said that the Holy Spirit is a person and has a personality. Okay, so thought process can't do that. But for both the Father and Jesus, I mean, the reason we can blaspheme the Father and Jesus is because both of them speak to us through the written word, of which man can deny and even blaspheme out of sheer stupidity or just anger or whatever the case may be. But later, that man can still repent of such blasphemies and literally be saved. But the Holy Spirit only speaks to a man's heart with words that the Holy Spirit knows for a fact that the man knows are true. And this is why we're going to be seeing what we're going to be seeing during the latter rain when we go forth in the loud cry. There's going to be billions of people. And this is why the question came. How are billions of people being, you know, groomed in that direction? I mean, because the Holy Spirit can read every heart easily, and therefore he knows what to say to that particular person to confirm his truth to their hearts, because he knows if he uses this stack of words, you know, as we call sentences, and he puts them all together in a specific sentence, he knows all the words that are already understood in that person's heart by the experiences that person has had since childhood, even on to adulthood. And so the Lord knows, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be said. And in fact, it's like I intimated to a moment ago, that when the loud cry goes forth, the Holy Spirit is going to give us, the obedient remnant people, words for each person, even though we can't read their hearts. We're just going to say something that proves to them what the difference is between God's seal and the beast's mark. What's this? What do you mean? Yeah. Pushing what? Yeah, they're pushing something in, I don't know what HR leadership class is, you know, homeroom. I don't know. But, I mean, the Holy Spirit knows for a fact the words he speaks to every soul are understood by the heart of that man. And that's why if you say, no, thank you, or I don't believe you, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because you're not misunderstanding the scripture as they're written, like many people do. You're denying what's being presented. And that's why that type of blasphemy cannot be forgiven, because the Holy Spirit knows the man understood exactly what he said. So, I mean, it's understandable, you know, that man can misunderstand the Bible at times and even blaspheme the Father and the Son via the Word of God. I mean, we probably have all done it without even knowing it, you know, but man cannot. And I wonder, and I hope, now I guess the Lord's going to wait until the mark, but there are people out there that probably blaspheme the Holy Spirit already, and because there are reprobates in every generation, but because you just can't misunderstand what the Holy Spirit says to the heart. I mean, that's, you know, once they hear the real truth and ignore it anyway, they're boldly denying the God that told them something they know for a fact is true. And so they can't hide what the Holy Spirit knows. They really do understand. And so that's more or less, you know, how the mark of the beast is going to be, in, you know, causing billions of people to be committing a sin they cannot repent of, a sin they cannot be forgiven of. They were called Adamites. Oh, you mean the reprobates? I don't know. I don't remember that. But then again, you know, can't remember everything. So I wish I could. I know when we get home to heaven, our brains are going to be working a lot better. You know, we would all have photographic memory on everything. I wonder if we're going to have to read the Bible. You know, because it'll be obviously in our hearts. So let's see what this here is. I got something else I wanted to share. No. I think I do have something here. Oh, hold on a second. I may have muddied the waters a little more for some people, but if you got any questions, just please ask away. But let me just check something here real quick. Oh, Adamites? Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Because Adam just means mankind, I think, right? And so Eve is part of mankind. That's why a lot of, and then always, you know, I wonder if some women get irked by this, where men are always mentioned, you know, man does this or man does that. A lot of women, I guess, don't realize that when you say man, you're incorporating a woman with it, with the man. Because that's mankind. Just like, and you know, that's weird how, well, I guess they actually go with the Neanderthal thing with the evolutionists, where they could still use that as part of their argument because they understand the word mankind, but for some reason they don't understand the word pigeon kind or cat kind or giraffe kind or, you know, gerbil kind. I mean, it just they seem to think that when it comes to evolution, that all different types of animals are spun off. Now, this is really, really strange when I think about this, too, because when I look at the way they look at, you know, the Big Bang, which was just proven false. Oh, and by the way, the Big Bang theory actually helps us prove there really is a God. And the evolutionists don't even realize it, because every explosion since the beginning of man, okay, every explosion since the beginning of man has confirmed for eons that something has to exist for it to explode. You can't just explode something out of nothing. And if it explodes, only smaller portions of it expel outward from the explosion, right? But yet the scientists out there are claiming that larger pieces come forth in a Big Bang explosion that actually occurred with absolutely nothing in and of itself to actually explode in the first place. They claim nothing exploded to make everything we see today. That confirms God exists, because only a God can do that. And they don't even realize that. They're giving him credit. They're trying to convince everybody that there's an explosion of something that doesn't, like there's nothing there. It's just nothing, nothing, nothing. And then all of a sudden it's everything. Only a God can do that. And he didn't use a big old explosion like they claim. We know. God said, let there be light. I mean, it's so much easier to, you know, like when you look at creation week and the Lord's creating this and creating that, and we have faith, and because none of us were there to see it happen, and so we have faith in that. And it's so much easier to have faith in that, in a God actually doing that, than the religion of the evolutionists, because that's actually a religion with them. Because they have to believe in something that they never saw happen either. But the difference here is they're claiming every different species out there, every tree or every blade of grass or even the oxygen molecules in the atmosphere, as well as the nitrogen and the helium and all these elements on the periodic table, everything that's anything in existence. We know God created it. They claim it all came from a rock that exploded. You know, it's unbelievable. And they just recently found everything that's in existence, right now, even to this day, when you use these super microscopes, I guess they call them, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper into inner space, they found the base element of everything that's in existence, from our cells to the cells of a tree or a weasel running through a creek. The base element of every single one of them is sound waves, because he spoke it all into existence. But of course, they keep that under wraps. It's kind of like with the soft tissue that they found in a bone of a Tyrannosaurus Rex a couple, 3 years ago. And a lot of people don't, you know, when it came out, it was in scientific, you know, magazines and stuff like that. But they kept it pretty hush hush. It's just like what they're doing with the James Webb Space Telescope. They're, you know, they're trying everything they can to declare that, no, it didn't prove the Big Bang Theory is false. Well, yes, it did. that they come up with all these. See, that's the thing. It's just like with the masks during the pandemic, or even what's going on with Biden, let's say. They're trying to tell you that what you see with your eyes isn't true. What they're telling you is true. That's a Jesuit tactic, as a matter of fact. You know, I actually have a printout here of it because I was sharing it with a friend, with a loved one, rather, in regards to how the Jesuits invent these strange doctrines that people embrace. But this is the one. This is from Ignatius de Loyola. He's the guy that started the Jesuit order. And it's on the spirit of exercise. The spirit of exercise of Saint Ignatius. Well, he's not a saint. He's demon-possessed. Page 141, and it's called the Grand Rule. The Grand Rule. And this is what they're trying to get everybody on the planet to go along with. And this is why the Mark of the Beast is going to be so easy for Satan to enforce. Because everybody believes lies. Because it's been heard and it's been repeated so many times. I praise God for like what happened recently with that debate with Biden. And I really feel sorry for him. But those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. And that's all this man ever did, was exalt himself and lie. You know, he's been caught so many times before he even got sick. But I still feel sorry for him because they keep pushing him out there because he's the only puppet they have. But what's really bad is his own wife's doing it and his son. And the main reason his son wants him to stay in the race is because he knows he's going to go behind bars. Well, he thinks he's going to go behind. I don't know if Trump would go there. But here, check this, the Grand Rule on page 141. It says, for an inferior, which means an up-and-coming priest that's being educated by a Jesuit priest, for an inferior readily to declare his assent and consent to his superior in active obedience when he says, the snow is black or the crow is white, we should always be ready to accept this principle. I will believe that the white that I see is black if the hierarchical church defines it as such. And that's the key. It's just like with the mask. They put it out there. It made everybody think that it was going to prevent you from getting the virus. And every doctor that isn't going to lie now, because all the doctors out there were in on this. Every one of them. No matter what hospital you went into, they kept on telling you, putting on the mask, even though they all knew the mask is only used in surgery so as to prevent blood spattering going into the face of a doctor. Yeah, amen. Yeah, but the rock had to be there first, too. Still, that's the other thing they missed, Sister Mindy. You know, they can claim it came from a rock because that's what they're saying. It's all because all these planets are made out of rock and stuff like that, right? I says, yeah, but so you're saying the rock was there first? And I go, yeah. I said, well, thank you again then. Because he, the creator, is the rock. So if they want to go that way. The nice thing here is that when they put this out there and it makes it so much easier for us to expose it, some people are going to believe the truth. You know, because I mean, there's just so many strange things that the AMA does that we know is dangerous. And some people say, how can you even assume to know that it's dangerous? I said, well, do I need to be a doctor to tell you not to get that vaccine? You know, especially now, after telling so many people not to get it, and now people are coming up and asking, how did you know? It's not any education on our part. It's just obvious, you know, that it was all a lie. It's just, I mean, just by looking at the mask. As a matter of fact, let me get this one picture in the stream for those of you that are on the stream, so that it'll because you got to see this. Because I was actually thinking, well, see, I don't wear shirts with advertisements on them. You know, I like even when I was a teenager, I would buy the shoes that didn't have all the, you know, logos on them. I thought, you know, it's just, I don't know, I just thought, like I'm walking down the street like a billboard. I never got into that. I just thought it was strange. But let me get this. Okay, where is it? There it is. Okay. Let me get this in the room here. Let me go to the put this in the room. Okay, give it a minute. It's still loading in. There's an awful lot of people online today. All right. Let me go to the... oh, I can't do it there. I got to go over here to do it. Here we go. Prophecy of today. Go down to Plandemic. Okay. Let me zoom it down so it'll fit. Look at this picture. Okay. Oh, by the way, did you ever notice this? yeah, no conflict here. No conflict of interest here. Move on, people. You know, like the FDA director, Scott Gottlieb or whatever his name is, all of a sudden becomes the head of Pfizer in 2019, and not long after that, a pandemic hits, and Pfizer makes billions and billions and billions of dollars. But here, this is it. I don't know if I can open image in new tab, and I wonder if I can get it. There you go. This is how a mask works when you exhale. How's that going to prevent anybody from getting a virus if you have a virus? He obviously inhaled on a vape or something, right? So he's exhaling with the mask on his face. You know? So we knew day one that it was just mind control. It was a matter of trying to get people to go along with something they knew for a fact as a lie. And that's what the Mark of the Beast is about. That's why people are going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because it's already easy to prove to them now, even before the loud cry goes forth, or gets louder, rather, or the ladder rains upon us, because we can easily show them how the Bible clearly shows that Sunday Sabbath is not biblical. It's just not biblical. There's not a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to say otherwise. But look at that. I mean, that's just so... it's just amazing. But let me see. There was another one here. Oh, yeah, here. Okay, open an image, a new tab, and then I'll open up this image, a new tab. This is a mask needed to prevent virus inhalation and absorption throughout or through the eyes. And we've all seen the hazmat guys wearing stuff like this. Yeah? Or even in the hospitals where someone's born with an immune system that just isn't there. And like the Boy in the Bubble movie, that was a true story. He couldn't step outside that bubble. And because whatever's in the atmosphere would kill him. So they kept him in that bubble. And then, of course, they say this is a mind control device, because that's really what it was. And then this here. So the hospitals get an extra $13,000 if they diagnose a death of COVID-19 and an additional $39,000 if they use a ventilator. And that was already known back then. And so again, how do you find a doctor now you can trust because of what just happened? Just looking at their the AMA's logo would answer that, you know, with the two serpents and stuff like that. Hold on, someone's texting me here. Can you do me... can you hear me? Just hold on a second. I'm getting a text from a sister in the faith. She's asking a question. And can you hear me, Sister Phyllis? Just answer me in the text, yes or no. It's kind of hard to understand what you texted anyway. You know, there's a new feature that I just noticed yesterday when I updated my... cell phone, they're saying that you can now edit your texts after you send them. You know, because how many times we get typos? Me especially, I rarely use text. I speak it in. And it'll sometimes come out kind of weird. So I got to go back and, you know, redo everything before I send it off. Anyway, I guess you can't hear me. I'll try to get back to it later then. Okay. Let's see this here. One, I don't know if this one here. Okay, good. This is why the mask and the vax was out there. As we all know, it's setting things up so that, the infrastructure is there so that when they say you can't buy and sell, back then they said you couldn't buy and sell without the mask. And people say, oh, they never said buy and sell. Really? Some people lost their jobs. So now they can't have the money they need to buy and sell. And some people couldn't even go into a store. Well, actually, everybody couldn't go into a store without a mask on, right? Okay. But some of us did anyway without a mask on. And it seemed to work out. Because there really was no law. And then that one guy, that one governor of New York was saying how he was in a sticky wicket because he knew there was no law. There's nothing they could have done if the people would have just refused to obey the police. There's really nothing they could have done. Now imagine the cops holding them down, putting a mask on their face. Yeah. I don't think that ever happened, but. But yeah, it's all got to be set up. The mindset has to be there so that the people will blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You know, they got to get used to doing what they know is a lie. It's just like with when they put and they made the public aware of the pig and the aborted baby cells that were in the vaccine, so as to get the Christians to get to where they're going to make a choice. Are we going to do the moral thing and refuse to have the cells of an aborted baby injected into our bloodstream so as to keep our jobs? I mean, they went that far. Hold on, I got to... No, I don't really know how to respond there, brother. Let's see. You're going to have to rewrite that or something, bro, because it's kind of hard for me to understand what you're saying. I think the word if is missing or something. Oh, I think Sister White goes into detail about that. Like if somebody commits a specific sin, like saying committing adultery as a pastor, they're obviously removed from the pulpit, cast out of the church, and we are no longer to associate with them. And if they make it home to heaven, it's on them to do it on their own. Somebody find that quote, because they'll have to do it on their own. If they make it, it's on their own, because they're not going to get any help from, you know, especially with that kind of a sin. Let me just see here. Again, still, the grammar seems odd. I still don't get what you're saying. How? Okay, something's missing in the sentence, bro. Maybe there's something wrong with my brain. I don't know. It's just the way you're saying it. I don't know how to respond to that. Again, it sounds like, let's see, how does my own come? Again, something's missing in the sentence. Okay, so that's what you should have put in there in the first place, bro. And the word of or if. Okay, so. So, how to faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Go back into the Bible, Romans 10:17. That's the only way I could think of for someone to have to get back to that area, to get back to that place. So, I don't know. But yeah, the only way that, because the enemy of souls, he'll attack in certain ways. You know, when I think of guys like, Craig, for example, what he did, I mean, it was way beyond committing adultery. I mean, it was pedophilia and it was other things. And I don't have any problem saying that out loud in a public forum because he claimed to be a pastor Okay, and so, and people thought he was a pastor. He claimed he was ordained out there. None of us were there to witness it, and so, but he claims it, and people claimed that he was a pastor. And so, you got to do 1 Timothy 5, you know, verses 19 to 21, and out him, because if people come across his stuff, they'll think that he's safe or something if we stop outing him, if you will, you know, because, but that kind of person, could you please answer private? Yeah. If you're going to ask a question, please don't, like in a PM, like during a church service from now on. Let's just make that a rule from now. If you have a private question you want answered, like if I'm on the mic, and then it's not fair to the rest of the people in the church, because it's happened quite a few times, and it's not just from one person, obviously, because that's just not fair. Because then it confuses everybody, you know, as to what's going on. But bringing it, because nobody knows who I'm talking about here, other than when I brought up Craig or Achan Iscariot, as we called him, because he did both things, that he did that which Achan did and that which Iscariot, Judas, did. And the main reason the Lord would have him removed from the pulpit is because if he stays on the pulpit, which he does, he ignores Scripture. He knows what the Bible says there. Even after he confesses and repents, he still can't go back on that pulpit. He declares Ellen White a prophet, and so he knows he's not supposed to go back on that pulpit, and he does. And for him to overcome that, faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. Okay, we're just, and I would hope someone would find me that quote, because I don't know where to look for it. And where Sister White said in regards to someone like that, if they make it, they're going to have to make it on their own, kind of a thing. I can't remember who she was talking about, though. If they make it to the Crystal Sea, they're going to make it on their own. You know, because, you know, anyway. All right. Thanks, bro. What's this? Okay, hold on a second here. Let me get this email real quick. This is... or, you, like, if you got a private question, something like that, send it to me in the email, and if I see the email... oh, okay. All right. It's good to know. I'll read it later then. Okay. All right. I just want to get a hold of them. Thanks, Sister Marie. All right. But, all right. Where were we? but yeah, for people that go into major sin, and because I've seen this happen to people that, as a matter of fact, and I'll mention his name, Dutch Savage. If anybody remembers that professional wrestler from the 80s or something like that, I never watched wrestling. I always thought it was, oh, so fake. You know, even though when they said, oh, is this fake? And he smacks the guy upside the head and bursts his eardrum, that one reporter. No, you're just being violent. You know, but the act of the wrestling match, yeah, it was all fake. And everybody knows it, even today, and they all knew it. But it's acrobatic. And it was fun for some people to watch, I guess. I always thought, you know, why don't you just watch a cartoon if you're going to get into fiction. But Dutch became a believer after he left the ring. And he ended up on television preaching. But he did it on public television. It was Dutch's Corner, it was called. And he contacted me out of the blue, asking for permission to put remnantofgod.org on his screen. I said, yeah, sure. And by the way, who are you? That kind of thing. You know, we became friends. And used to preach a lot every week. And then he wanted me to, I don't know if I ever did go on. No, I don't think I ever did. We talked on the phone a lot, but I don't do interviews. I just don't. Because, you know, because of what happened, or they tried to happen, because the Lord revealed to me many years ago when I was on Fire Talk, that this one friend that was a friend of mine at one time, and some people might even know him. He's totally off the path now. His name is Matt Slick, if anybody remembers that guy. And him and I were friends, and we did some work together on Fire Talk. And then all of a sudden, he went off the deep end. And he wanted me to go on his radio show to discuss this. I think it had something to do with that false Trinity thing, the Vatican's Trinity or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I was going to do it, and then I called him a few days beforehand and says, no, the Lord revealed to me that this, because I asked him, is it just going to be you and me? Are you going to set me up? You're going to have two or three guys browbeating me while I'm trying to talk and not be able to get a word in edgewise? And he said, oh, no, it'll just be you and me, right? And then, but the Lord said, don't do it. And so I just didn't do it. Told him about a couple, I gave him some time to find somebody to replace me. And when that guy got on there, I listened to the broadcast, and he did have two or three other guys browbeating the daylights out of the guy so he can get a word in edgewise. And I thought, oh, so, okay. So I don't go on, because they do this. No matter how sugar-coated, they'll approach you. I don't do interviews. I think the only time I'm going to go on camera is when they throw me up there after they arrest me or something, you know, and say, yeah, this is what he's done, even though I didn't do it. I don't care what they think of me. I know what my father thinks. That's all that matters. Yeah, Dutch Savage. He was the, what was his name, Lawrence something? Or can't remember his real name. Yeah, that was his name. Anyway, he did something. And it was pretty bad. And it was a sin. It was a sin. I'm not going to say it because he confessed and repented and he was forgiven. But he refused to get off the pulpit. And I says, brother, you can't be behind that pulpit. You can't be standing on camera after this. You got to step back. And then all of a sudden, I'm an idiot, right? You know, it wanted nothing to do with me. He was done with me. I says, all right. So he pulls Remedy God off his show, and three years later, he calls me out of the blue. And he asked for my forgiveness. And I gave it to him 100%. And I think we even shed a couple tears on the phone because he says he's doing this because he's only got a few days to live. He got cancer of some kind that was killing him. And he died. And so I'm thinking he made it. You know, he did the right thing. He went around and made things right. He wanted to, because and I've done that over the times. I mean, like I may have said something about someone or to someone, and you try to get to them. You're like this one guy I used to hang with, shooting stick with him all the time. He's the only guy I ever trusted on the table as a partner when I was playing a game. And I was a jerk to him. I was just an idiot. Because when I was young, I was really headstrong and bold and just a jerk. And he left my life. He just left. He didn't want anything to do with me. I gave him a last straw kind of an attitude one day or something like that. And that was the last time I ever saw him. And then a couple of years before he died, I just started praying and praying and praying. I said, I want to talk to him. I want to, because now I have Christ, and this was years ago. But I had already been a Christian for decades, pastor, in fact, right? And but then all of a sudden his name came up in prayer, in private prayer. And I kept going to the Lord on this. Is he sick? I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. I want to share you with him. And I want to get him ready because I've seen so many people that the Lord has sent me over the years that used to be my friends, that were my friends, rather, from the past. And all of a sudden now they're into the Bible and they're asking all these questions. And then, a couple, 3 months or even a year, one guy, just going back and forth talking on a regular basis, they die. And they never told me they were terminally ill. And then maybe they didn't even know. Like, for example, my buddy Tony, he didn't know. He just died in his sleep. He had a heart issue. I mean, he knew about the heart issue, but he didn't know it was going to go there. Because he never mentioned it to me. I mean, he's had heart attacks before, but anyway, I couldn't find Bob. That was his name, Bob Myers. And him and I were inseparable in the pool halls and stuff, because when I would do a partner's game, I didn't go with him all the time, obviously. I didn't like playing partner's games, but some people insisted. And so, where you play partners, one guy shoots, misses, and the other guy shoots, and then the other guy shoots. I mean, you don't go all at the same time kind of thing, obviously. And So I kept praying and praying and praying, Father, God, I can't get a hold of him. Maybe he's sick. I'll just lift him up to you. Please send someone that will share the truth with him. I kind of like to hang with him in New Jerusalem. Well, one day I finally found him. But it was his obituary. I literally finally got contact as to where he was. You know, I couldn't get an email, couldn't get a phone number, couldn't get I know his brother's names because, yeah, I knew him that close. We lived near each other and everything, and he was 1 year older than me, and I knew his birth date. Well, I didn't know his birth date, but I did know and all that. And then I happened to find his obituary a day or two after he died, and that was rough. That was rough. But I'm hoping and praying that all those prayers, because I might have been the only one praying for him. I don't know. There could have been others praying, too. The Lord loves us that much that he sends people to pray for them. Oh, thank you, Lord. Maybe I should pray silently there. Sorry, that just happened. You pray all day kind of a person, right? Anyway, there was something else I wanted to share here. I don't know if it's kind of long, and there's just too many of these that I have in here, you know, for the fellowship hour. But I always want to keep the fellowship from this day forward because we're recording this, or I am. I know Brother Joe's doing it too, but because he's my guy that I can fall back on if something messes up on my end, which it often does. A lot of times I forget to hit the record button. So, but thanks, bro. But, here, I could share this, because it's kind of something different here. I'm going to stick it in the room. Because it coincides with what Pastor Alvin was sharing recently. And it's kind of similar. What's this? There you go. That's the one. Thank you, Brother Alvin. That's the quote I was looking for. I didn't know it was in Testimonies 1. It says, if he repents ever so heartily, you know, talking about the guy that's in sin and he has to be cast out and all this other stuff, but this is big time, naughty, naughty kind of sin. And it says, if the church must let his case alone, you know, like, remember what the Lord said about Esau? He has joined to his idols. No, that was Ephraim. Let him alone. He's joined to his idols. Yeah, same thing. She says, if he goes to heaven, it must be alone, without the fellowship of the church. And this is why it bothers me so much in this church. But anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. A standing rebuke from God and the church must ever rest upon him that the standard of morality be not lowered to the very dust, because I think this is the one where we're talking about a pastor committing adultery, right? Because that's taking sin all the way to the dust, all the way to the bottom. I mean, it's one thing to tell, like some people call a little white lie, hey, a lie's a lie, okay? Don't put colors on it because that's just Satan's way of getting you to think, oh, it's not that big. It's a venial sin. Remember the Catholic Church with their mortal and venial thing? Mortal sin, if you did all this, this, and that, you're going to go to hell in a handbasket if you don't tell the priest a confession. But a venial sin, yeah, just make it a confession when you can because it's not that big of a deal. And you might only spend a couple of million years in purgatory, right? And so, yeah, the venial sin was like a misdemeanor, and then the mortal sin was a felony, right? So, but yeah. But this adultery of a pastor, that's, you know, taking the standard of morality and just lowering it right to the dust. Down to the right to the earth, obviously, and the dust, of course. Her analogy being, you know, Malachi 4:3, I guess, or is it 3:4? Yeah, but the, you know, walking on the ashes of the dead. Yeah. Work out. Yeah, fear and trembling, pastor adultery. Amen. Man, scary stuff. So. What does it mean without fellowship of the church? Can you explain it in more detail if you can? 1 Timothy 5:19, verse 19 to 21. Or Matthew 18. The only difference between the Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, and the 1 Timothy 5:19 to 21 is with the pastors, and that's why I got two pages on the website exposing Rob Sessler and Craig Kalkoffen. they claimed to be leaders, pastors, elders, or whatever, right? And they stood as such. As Sessler never declared himself pastor, but he does to this day declare himself elder. And some people think that's above a pastor or standing next to a pastor. I don't know. I don't get into titles, okay? I don't. I never did. Never will. But that's why it's okay if you call me Nicholas. I've been called worse. I don't need everybody to call me pastor. It's, you know, but I understand the calling. And if some people, because I was like that, like especially with Pastor Russ. He was the first one that I ever came across that I wanted to call him pastor because I learned so much from his walk on the street. Not so much in the word, because it was a basic kind of a guy, but it was basic, and it was all about Jesus. He always preached Jesus, and it was just, and so it was heavy duty stuff. But what he did on the street and the way he carried himself, except for when he was angry and kind of mean, I didn't like that part. But yeah, some people you just want to call him pastor, I guess, you know, and that's how it was for me. So I understand some of you that call me pastor all the time. That's fine. So, but the fellowship of the church, without the fellowship, once they've been cast out, they're out. They can't get back in, sister. That's what it means. You can't, once outside the camp, you can't come back in. Back in the day, when you were cast out to camp, like Achan found out the hard way, you're destroyed, you're killed. But in our day, the Lord gives them an opportunity to repent. But if they were to come back into the church, they can cause the problems to start up all over again. You know, eventually schmoozing their friendliness to somebody, and before you know it, they're ordained a deacon, then a pastor again. I says, no, they can never, ever go on a pulpit again, ever. And if they make it to heaven, it's on their own. They're not going to get the help of the fellowship of the church, and so that's more or less what it means. Oh, well, I should have just said what Elvin said. I get a little bit too gabby at times. But this thing that's been irking me, and this is why I think it was Sunday or Monday last week when I contacted Elvin and told him, this is, you know, I'm in the middle of my study, I think I texted him, because of my sickness that I had recently, it's like sleep evades me, and which isn't good because it was causing other health issues, but now I'm, you know, everything's great. Again, I had great sleep again last night. It's amazing. It's been a while. Praise his name. And so anyway, I contacted Pastor Elvin and let him know. I said, I think the Lord just gave me a sermon. And usually if he does that, I'll just say, okay, I'll give this sermon on Q&A, because the sermons usually are just answering a question. It's how I've always been on a pulpit. I like to answer questions. And so I prefer to teach rather than preach, if you know what I mean. But I'll do both, but I prefer to teach. And what the sermon is about, it had nothing to do. I mean, the sermon was about something in regards, and I don't want to steal my own thunder at this point, but it has to do with the Matthew 18 thing. And the last Matthew 18 thing we did was what was it last year, or was it the beginning of this year? I don't know. It lasted 18 months. We did our best to help them. And the 18 months wasn't just about us being overly lovey-dovey. It was also to let everybody know in the church family, as well as that page we put up that showed everything that we tried to help them with, you know, the sin page, as we called it. We did everything we possibly could to help them. And so some people say we went overboard with the lovey-dovey, but I think, and I agree. I don't think it should have taken 18 months, but we love them that much. And there was a few involved, so it's kind of like, you know, the what-ifs were flying up all over the place, and so it was kind of hard to stay on track because you weren't just doing one guy. And so it was also for the benefit of the church family to see everything was done. It's kind of like when we go that 1,000 years during, you know, judgment, and we're looking at all the books, you know, going through the books of judgment, you're going to see Christ vindicated left and right. How many times did he try to reach certain people that left our number, right? Or family members or whatever. And so, for some reason, you know, nothing happened yet, right? But other than what happened, the most recent Matthew 18 thing, but the Lord was impressing upon my heart when I was reading, because like I said, I was having issues sleeping, and it was hard for me to focus when I was doing my studies and stuff. And so I figured, Father God, this is just too thick for me to do right now, too much meat. I just want to kick back and relax and just let you talk to me. So I went into Proverbs. Oh, man, it's just like, it's kind of hard to get out of there, too, because it's just like every other sentence, you know, because you ask a question, get the answer, ask a question, get the answer kind of a thing. I just love Proverbs. And when I was in there, he gave me a sermon. And it's more or less about the Matthew 18 thing. Because this church family has a problem. But then every church family has this problem. Okay? It's just going to happen. It's going to keep happening until the eastern sky splits. I have no doubt. And hold on a second here. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, this thing here it just hit me like a ton of golden bricks from heaven, right? And just to summarize more or less what the sermon's about is when people leave the church number, our church family, this movement, no matter how much you love them, you got to love Jesus Christ first. You remember the one statement that Christ says in his word? Oh, hold on a second here. I got the wrong browser on the wrong screen up there. It's covering up my Bible, and I don't like doing that. But hold on. Let me, I'd like to have that. Yeah. Matthew 10:37. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And you could change that with brother or sister if you want, you know. This, so many in this church family have gone through this. And that's why the Lord gave me that sermon, because yeah, I agree, Brother Eli, 100%. Yes. Do it, because it helped me, you know. And so, anyway, this thing with the church, and it just never ends. And that's why the Lord told me what he did about a year or so ago, maybe even 6 months. I don't know. It's been so long, it's kind of hard to remember, you know, how many months. Or especially when you get up in my years, you know, months seem like days and years seem like weeks. But I've noticed this time and time again, and the Lord reminded me, and I even put it on my desktop where it says, "We are too close to the end, no more time to debate. We're only going to be sharing the truth with those that want to hear it." Because when we step into that loud cry, they're going to stand in line wanting to debate. And this is why it's getting popular on YouTube. I don't know if you noticed, there's a couple of guys that go out there, and preachers even, they'll stand out on college campuses and just wait for the guys to ask them, and the girls to ask them questions. They're cultivating debates, and the Bible's pretty clear about that being sinful. Okay? Just share the truth. Because when you answer, and this is what irks me about, especially this one preacher, he proves them wrong, and he does it in a very loving way. But my brother, if you're listening, you just shot that person down no matter how lovey-dovey you did it. That's one of the reasons debate ain't good. Or just like with sports activities when you're keeping score, when you got a winner and a loser. Yeah, someone's getting shot down no matter how lovey-dovey you do it. And in these coming days, amen, it's our job to inform, not to convince. We just let them know. The Holy Spirit takes it from there. That's what the Lord slapped me upside the head for decades ago when I wasn't even a Sabbath keeper yet. I always mention his name, Dave Luna, because he's dead now. It doesn't matter. I can mention his name. I can show you his picture if I want, which I don't have any. So, but he would call and have these questions. I didn't know he was asking questions of a Lutheran pastor that he had. I didn't know he was doing this, but I eventually found out that he would ask me a question, and about, you know, a Bible question, and I would answer him. He says, "Oh, well, the pastor says this." I says, "Yeah, but here, read the next verse," or whatever. You know, I've this went on for months. But I also noticed that not a lot of people were contacting me in regards to the tracts I'm handing out, or I'm not getting a lot of activity on the street. And then the Lord just hit me upside the head and said, you know, if you can ignore Titus 3:10, well, then just busy yourself with this guy, and I'm not going to send you anybody else, because you're just going to, you know, push in your roots and dig in your heels and just convince, you know, whatever. And so I stopped, you know, and praise his name. But yeah, that's the thing here is with when somebody's cast out of the church, and I'm going to prove this left and right with scripture and SOP next week if the Lord gives it to me. Or maybe he'll say, don't do the sermon. I don't know. We'll find out. You know, because that's one of the amazing things about our Lord. You know, I got a sermon already written, ready to go to bed Friday night and 4 a.m., you know, 4 a.m., he wakes me up. Here's your sermon. It's like, you know, and so, but you don't need much prep when you trust him. You know, like Friday nights and Sabbath day with the studies, not a lot of prep, just read, let him take it. You know, because truth is truth. John 14:26 is clear. But when we as a church family cast somebody out, and somebody in the church still goes to their, you know, user accounts on the internet, their social media things, and follows them or studies with them, watches their videos, reads their messages, you're in sin. I know that's a little hard to hear, but that's true. You got to repent. You know, and I'll prove it next week a little bit more detail if the Lord allows. But it's pretty obvious what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 17. And just like, and I'm going to use that quote that Brother Alvin found. They'll have to find, get their, like they're cast out of the church, they have to get their way on their own. See if I can copy it. But, yeah. This has been going on, and it just keeps on going on. You know, someone leaves the church who loved us, agreed with us, and promoted the same truth, passed out tracts with us, printed books with us, and overwhelmingly declared that the books of the SDA Church have been edited, and now all of a sudden they leave us because they're in sin, they, you know, the fanaticism thing. And now all of a sudden those books that declare false prophecies in writing are safe now. That's because once you disobey Christ, confusion is now your God. You step out of the realm of Christ, he gives you free will. You've got free will to leave him. So when he leaves, somebody else has to step up, because you're never going to be alone on this planet, not until that sky splits. And so now they're out there preaching things that are absolutely wrong. But the saddest, and that's expected, that happens with every one of them, you know. And that's why, even like with Galel Doss, you know, what was it, worldslastchance.com? That guy used to be part of our number. He asked me permission to use my Antichrist page to share. I said, yeah, sure, because he was, him and I, we were all together with the, you know, with Fessler and that group. And then all of a sudden, he started declaring Jesus is in God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and we did all we could to try to show him the truth. And before I said bye-bye, I says, you know, if you continue on this path, you're going to be preaching all sorts of crazy stuff, because once you step away from Christ, confusion is your God. Sure enough, now he preaches Lunar Sabbath, Flat Earth, and John Paul II is going to resurrect and be the Antichrist. Forget about the prophecies that says, you know, Satan's going to show up and act like Jesus. Oh, no. No. John Paul II is going to do that, according to these guys, right? And some people say, oh, he doesn't say that. Yes, he did. But when Ratzinger or somebody else took over, for some reason, Galel moved that page off of his web server. About 2 or 3 days after the Lord told me to copy it and put it on mine, so as to let people know what he really did say before he deleted that page to try to hide the fact he's a false prophet. A lot of people don't get that. God's people are out there, you know, and we're going to obey. Yeah, amen. Jesus had his Judas. He broke bread with him. David talked about how someone that was really close to him, that broke bread with him, he says in the Psalms, now lifts his heel against him. So this is the norm. But when we step out of the path of Christ and go out there and be with these people that have already been cast out, that's on us. Because now you're saying Jesus Christ lied in Matthew 18, verse 17, or even 1 Timothy 5. Because I remember Timothy 5, verse 21 was my problem. I didn't want to declare Craig a problem. I was trying my best to reach him because I love that kid so much. Yeah, I call him a kid. he's younger than my oldest, right? And so, yeah, very concerned for him. And then the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night after getting a pretty neat statement. And I was disobeying him. And so then it changed after that. I'm going to obey. Even if we get down to one person in the church family, I don't care. We're going to make it home to heaven. All two of us. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. We will obey the Lord. And but we've always noticed this too. When people leave and other people go and hang out with them because of their friendship, they're loving them above Jesus. And that has to stop. But it won't. It might stop with the ones that have done it recently, yeah. Because directly after the Lord gave me that sermon, something happened 3 days later. And again, I'm not mentioning any names, you know, at all. Unless I have to later, because I'm waiting on fruit, if you will, in regards to a rebuke. Okay. But yeah, look at that. Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So David saw it. We've all seen it. Sister White saw it so much they threw her off to Australia. Remember that? Get her out of here. Sick of hearing it. It's kind of like with Korah in Moses. Quit telling us what we're doing wrong. Tell us what we're doing right. How well did that work for them to be so worldly? They were so worldly that the world swallowed them. Do you remember that? Literally, earthquake, down they went. And the thing, planet closed back on them. Yeah. It's amazing how the Lord's hand will move. And but we got to stay the course, brothers and sisters. We have to stay on the path. Don't go anywhere near the edges. That's where Satan lurks. That's where he's hanging out, trying to get you to fall. And he'll use the love you. And here's another thing, too. The people that left, that reach out, because they're doing that, too, now. I just found out. That reach out to the church family, they are tempting you to love them before Jesus. They are literally, openly, they are in open sin. They are heathen in the public, and that's what Jesus said, right? He said that in, with his own lips in Matthew 18. They are tempting you to leave Christ behind for a moment, because now they know more about your well-being than Jesus Christ, your Creator, does. Because Jesus said, don't go there. But they're saying, yeah, just come on over. I just got a little bit to show you. Just think on this for a little bit. You know, chew on it. Well, it's just no different when Satan shows up and acts like he's Jesus, and one of your best friends, your spouse even, let's say, comes up to you and says, you got to see this. Jesus just showed up over at the 7-Eleven, and, you know, it's amazing. He's glowing, and it says, you know, don't go there. Jesus didn't have to explain himself. All he said was, don't go there. Three words. Oh, amen to that, Arthur. Amen to that, my brother. Best friends. And that's what bothers me, too, about Bob Myers. I was a very good friend of him. He was a better friend to me, and I betrayed him. I just treated him like a jerk. But I mean, I rebuked myself back then for doing it, because when I made a statement about him in front of someone and where he could hear it, and that was the end of it for him. He said goodbye. But I was drunk. But that's still no excuse. I shouldn't have been drinking. Yeah, it was long before I was a Christian. Oh, amen to that, Sister Marie. Amen to that. Oh, my sister. No, yeah, he just. And you've gone through it. Yeah, I remember the emails, my sister. And some of the texts and stuff were all under attack, and some of us more so than others. And there's a reason for that. The Lord's got a plan for each and every one of us. And he's helping us build up our spiritual muscles. And so stay the course, sister. All of us, stay the course. Stay on that path. Stay in the middle. You know, to God be the glory. That's all we got to be concerned with, is to our God be the glory. All right, so I'm going to go get me something to chew upon. So, God bless you all. See you tonight at 7 o'clock. Oh, where are we going? We're going to have the prayer, of course. It's going to be here, like we do it back and forth. But this time it's going to be at our house. Brother Alvin and the family, they're all coming over. Let me get it on the site here. I think I'm still on the page on the, yeah, let me just go to the top here, go to prophecy section, go down to, I think Ellen White. No, soon fulfilled. Yep. Go to the loud cry. There's where you want to be tonight. And tonight, we did this before when we had a mini meeting here so as to figure out what we're all going to do for the camp meeting. And thanks again, my brothers and sisters, for showing up. That was amazing. Amazing and amazing. Anyway, 36, and it's not chapters. It's 36 yellow things. Okay. I guess there's 36 of them there, you know. And what that is every time, like say if you want to look for something about how the truth spreads far and wide, click it. And the first thing that's yellow, start reading it, and that's where you're going to be. Okay, it's kind of like a table of contents of a paragraph or two that Sister White said regarding the loud cry. Pages 421 to 430 of the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, which I forgot to put on the graphic, I just noticed. But everybody knows. All right. But so we're just going to go over the basics as regards to all this. And then after we're done with that, we're going to read it from the top down. You know, from like we did the Christ Our Righteousness book. And boy, that was a blessing to all of us. We all got a bolstered faith from it. And now we know why the people that were cast out recently were doing everything they could to say, don't read the Christ Our Righteousness book. It's, you know, it's got this prophet, it's got that prophet. But now all of a sudden after they left, you know, we read it and got blessed by it. And they're now saying all the edited books are okay. And so, see what happens. This is the end of times. This is how confused sin makes people. They are so, so far gone now. Really, really scary stuff, especially when you look at blunt statements in Desire of Ages and then the 1888-1911 Great Controversy that literally says Jesus Christ stands on the planet at the Second Coming. And now they're saying that's doctrinally and prophetically accurate. That's what they're saying. They're saying those books are safe now. They even made a video about it showing it. I didn't see any of the videos, and I don't look at any other sermons or stuff. I'm going by what my brothers and sisters have said. They'll send me links to me, and then I click the link to make sure it exists. That way I'm not talking out of my hat. And then I just, nope, I'm not going to read it. Nope, I'm not going to watch it. Because I'm going to obey my Lord, Savior, my King in Matthew 18. Going to do it. You know, so God bless you too, Sister Letitia, and everybody here. But yeah, tonight, let me put the link in the room for those of you who are going to be here tonight. For those of you on WTPR, 7 o'clock after we get done with the prayers, you know, the prayer. Not a prayer, like what, anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes. We're usually at about 8. It's going to be reverendofgod.org/theloudcry.htm. That's where we're going to be tonight. We're starting a new book, and it's actually just Spirit of Prophecy, pages 420, volume 4, pages 421 to 430, if you have the book, which I would think just about everybody in this church family has. And so, yeah, page 421 to 430. But before we start reading those pages, I have highlighted here, and the only reason I made this page is because I want to keep up with the questions that come to me in regards to, like someone says, are you sure Spirit of Prophecy actually says that the remnant cry out to God for help and then they receive it? And so instead of having to go and reread everything, you know, because I ain't got time, you know, all these emails that come in, I just go to number 27, the remnant cry out to God for help and receive it, click it, and then I just, you know, copy and paste that into an email, and I'm done, you know? And so, yeah, this is why I itemized those paragraphs, because we need this kind of stuff. It's going to help us in the coming days. And then after we're done with this, we'll go to the time of trouble with, you know, next, and that is more than 36, it's 47. And then we go to God's people delivered. And this one here, I don't think it's that much, it's 40. And then we'll do the same thing. I just noticed I didn't Those are all bolded. But when you go to the loud cry, they're not. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to redo it. Too much work. So, what's this? Prayer request for Andy. Met him on the side of the road and shared him Bible truth. He's seeking our Lord and his new faith. Sound like he's going through a lot. Thank you. Could you email that to me, Brother Seth? Or is it Sister Amy saying it? Either way, could you email it to me? I'll put it on the permanent prayer list. Wait, I got to check out Sister Soom. She's at it again. Got to check out this doodle. Let's see here. I always cheat. I click it. You know, but it says, bless the house of God. Amen. Dear sister, amen. So. Okay, so it is Brother Seth. Okay. All right, so good night. God bless everybody. See you tonight at 7 in a few moments. You're going to be hearing some music until tonight. And thanks again, Brother Joe. He's going to be popping in with his music at around 6:30 or so, and then that way it makes it easier for me to do what I got to do on this end. I think Joe's already eating right now, but him and I already discussed that. But those of you on the stream, you know, one of these days we'll figure out a way to do this. Since there's only, I don't know, 20 or 30 families that do this on Saturday evenings, I don't know. I'm so tempted to start up the POGM stream on my own server, but I'm so afraid of the bottlenecking. So we're just going to go straight audio probably. And then, of course, Telegram. It'll be in the Telegram room. For those of you who want information about the Telegram room, please don't ask me. You know, ask Brother Eli, Brother Joe, Pastor Alvin, you know, the regulars, you know. Or anybody else that's a regular in the text chat in the Telegram thing. They'll just give you the link. I think you got to be invited, though, because of, the infiltrators that are still trying to cause problems. So we're pretty much good about how we have prepared ourselves, trusting in the Lord in regards to infiltration, because what's coming in the future, Satan will make it a point to take time out of his busy day to try to bring a really big problematic type of person into our group or groups globally, because now he's scared and it's his last few days on earth, and so he's going to go after us. But I love the fact that the Lord got us to gather like the way he has when Fran and I. Actually, you know, when we left the Catholic Church and then we said, okay, we went to these Baptist churches and it was like, oh, man, they're Catholics and they don't even know it. And so we tried a non-denominational thing, found the same thing there, went to a couple FDA churches and one of them for 6 months, but not every Sabbath. We went over the course of a year, I think it was. Over the course of the year, I think we went 5 or 6 times for the whole year because the car I had wasn't very roadworthy. And then again, we saw, yeah, waste of time. And so we started a home church, and then the Lord took it from there. Now, and then we find out later that's how the church started, in the homes, and all these cathedrals and all these 20,000-seat auditoriums are just Rome's method of better controlling the masses. That's why they built cathedrals. Get as many people into one area, so you have one priest handling everybody in these little villages back then. And now they do the same thing. They have these massive churches. They're not even churches. They're just auditoriums for preacher-tainers and, churchianity. That's all it is. And so, but now, in the little home churches, and we don't care about the numbers, because we know, I think, the largest number that we're ever going to be in these final days is the 144,000. Right? And we're not going to all be in one neighborhood, so that's globally. And so that's all we're concerned with. You know, use us for what you need us for, Father. And here we are, Lord. Send us, and then we'll go forth. And we can do that in our little homes. We are going to bloom where he planted us. And so for those of you on the streams, hop on over to WTPR Live area, the new, well, not so new now, but, and we'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time. God bless. Love you. Sabbath blessings. Okay, so that's gone. Now I gotta get over here for this one on the new server. So let me think I'm going to do the harp. I got to tell you, I want to get this song. Do I have it up? No, I don't. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I don't have it in the new server, definitely. I got to put it in the new server. It's the six-minute song that I just repeat all day long on my computer, especially when I'm studying or when I'm doing research for the blog, you know, every week with all the articles. I have Psalm 23 playing in the background on a harp. It's just like, oh, man, send me a minstrel. And that's the way the Lord answered that prayer. And so I want to put that on the new server so that all week that's all you hear. Every 6 minutes, the same song going over and over and over and over. And but I got to edit out the two blank spots, the beginning and the end. And but I don't know if people are going to like the idea of hearing the same song over and over again. So maybe I'll throw some other stuff in there too. But boy, I just can't get enough of it. I mean, there's a lot of these harp songs where it's like King David playing a harp, and it's just beautiful. I mean, it's really, really nicely done. And I always thought it was just like plucking some old cat gut and trying to get, you know, some kind of twangy sounds. But no, I guess those harps back then were pretty amazing sounding. And because they sound, I mean, harp's always been my favorite instrument. I would have loved to have figured out how to play it. I actually bought one, and I couldn't even figure out how to tune it. So, and then when after Brother Alvin tuned it for me, I couldn't figure out how to play it, so I just gave up. I says, I'll learn when I get home, because I'll be an expert then anyway, right? When the angels hand us our crowns, or Christ hands the crown, the angels hand the harps, and we start strumming the harp perfectly. And I was talking to the Lord about that the other day, too. He says, we need more workers in the church, and please do unto us like you did for the believers back thousands of years ago when you gave the pattern unto Moses, where some of the men weren't artisans. They couldn't draw to save their life. They couldn't do tapestries. They couldn't do embroidery or anything like that until the Holy Spirit came upon them or something. And, you know, because the Holy Spirit wasn't really given out at that time, as we understand. But the Lord blessed them in such a way that now they were artisans. They could draw. They could do amazing metal work and tapestries and all this. This is Father God. We need that again. We need to go out there again, because some of us just don't have these abilities. Some of us have talents, but we need more. And so keep praying on that, brothers and sisters, because some of you are going to be used in a mighty way in the coming days. I'm praying for all of you. I don't know which one of you have these kind of talents, but, you know, I know they're there. Because I know the God I worship. I know what he does and how he does these things. You know, we all do. I mean, we all did that study together in the sanctuary, too. We remember that. So, did this thing just shut down? Let me just see if it's shut down. I think it did. Yep, it's down on the old WTPR. It just goes down when it wants. I so apologize for those of you that are still hanging in there over there. I don't know why. Come on over to the new. Water's fine. The living water's fine here. Boy, I tell you, I got to fix the way this mouse works on this one. It's too quickly. It's too fast. Test. All right, let's back up. All right, so I'm going to put on the music, and we'll see you tonight at 7, everybody. God bless you. Love you. Sabbath blessings.